In this episode of the Backend Engineering Show, we're going to discuss this spooky new attack that's called Spook.js, which allows an attacker to read content from another completely different page in the victim's browser. A little bit scary. The good thing is there are very, you know, specific use cases and situations where this attack can get executed and carried out, right? Chrome protects against this and other browsers as well. But there's this new few situations where you can get into this and you can get hit by this attack. So let's discuss this. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And before we discuss Spook.js, we really need to talk about a little bit of a history, specifically starting with an attack back in 2018 called Spectre. I talked about it. Check out the video right here. But in a nutshell, for the longest time, if you want to build a browser, you, the listener, what you would do, right? You would basically run a process, and as your client want to visit a certain website, you will basically load that website in that process. So what happened if the client want to execute another website, completely different website? Well, we know the expense of starting a new process just to load that website. So we usually use the same process innocently, right? Because we didn't know any better, to kind of load the same website in the same process. And there is nothing wrong with that, right? So you'd see one fat process, right? Large in memory, loading many, many websites that you're visiting. The problem with that, specific model is the memory, cookies, stuff like that, that sensitive data that is shared between Bank of America that you happen to visit and PirateBay.org, right, are in the same process. So that means the RAM is one thing, right? The memory addressable location is in one place. And technically, this process can read both. But, right, Pirate Bay or whatever an attacker website might be, cannot really read Bank of America just haphazardly, right? Even though it's the same process. Why? Because worst case scenario, you're executing JavaScript, right? JavaScript cannot just, is not memory addressable. You cannot just, hey, go read this memory address. If it was, we will be screwed a long time ago. It's not like C, right? Where you can say, hey, I want to read this address in my process. You cannot, unfortunately, do that. Unfortunately, you fortunately cannot do that, right? So there wasn't any problem with JavaScript being hosting, running in the same process, right? There was other, it was frowned upon, but it wasn't really a big deal, right? JavaScript is not really harmful in that regard, right? But Spectre came in 2018 and changed that story. There was a bug in CPU, believe it or not, right? In the CPU itself, Intel processors and other processors itself, called a speculative execution, where effectively the CPU tries to be smart and too clever by half, and effectively tries to predict what will happen next. And based on that prediction, it starts caching stuff in its memory that is not supposed to cache. And with a little bit of a trick, JavaScript tricks, that I talked about in my Spectre video, you can effectively read this cached content, right, using timing attacks. And as a result, you can read data that is in your process that doesn't technically belong to you, right? But you said, Hussein, it's my process. Well, it is your process because I decided to put you as a website in that process. So we're using a low isolation effectively, right? We're putting many, many websites and many, many content in the same process. Now, when I say it this way, it sounds scary because technically now it is very scary these days. So Chrome and other browsers came up with the idea of isolation, site isolation. So it means if I visit piratebay.org and I visit bankofamerica.com, I'm going to spin up two processes. So that means they have their own memory location and they are completely isolated. So we know that even speculative execution cannot work because you will only read your stuff, which is, you can feel free to read your own stuff. There is nothing in that except your stuff. PirateBay.org will only be able to read stuff that PirateBay.org has stored and nothing else. Well, yeah, the process itself have specific location in memory that even the process itself cannot read, like, you know, kernel specific stuff. That's where Meltdown, the other attack, comes into situation where you can read that. I'm not gonna get into that. That's not even the topic, but that's essentially the nutshell, right? So the process can read its only itself. But now the question is, how do I determine what to isolate? Chrome, when they first built this idea of site isolation, they said, okay, if I visit bankofamerica.com and I visit piratebay.org, that is a completely two different domains, spin up a different process for them. But what if I visit blog.bankofamerica.com and then I visit online.bankingofamerica.com and then I visit www.bankofamerica.com? It seems like it's an overkill to spin up three processes to blog, www, and online shopping.bankofamerica.com, right? That's a lot of processing power because, hey, process spinning and forking processes is not cheap because you're going to have your own memory location and there is an overhead of spinning up just its own your own process. So that's why they're all the memes for Chrome, right? All goes the memes when Chrome is using a lot of RAM. Why? Because it's trying to protect you. And the memes just became more and more prevalent, really, when Spectre came into the picture, because now we trying to separate stuff. So Chrome decided, you know what? As long as we're in the same domain, right? Same top level domain, we're gonna run you into the same process. I mean, yeah, bankofamerica.com, www, and all that stuff, they are secure, right? They are on the same site, so it's okay to run it in the same process. It's highly unlikely that an attacker have control over www.bankofamerica.com or something.bankofamerica.com and doesn't have control over something else, .bankofamerica.com. So the subdomain doesn't really matter. So as long as you own the top 11 domain, it's okay. We're going to run everything in one process. Some of you might think, those guys from University of Michigan and Georgia and a lot of other universities said, nope. They said literally, nope. You know, blogging website like Tumblr and a site that we devs use all the time, like Netlify? How do you spin up one? What becomes your domain? It will become blah 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 dot netlify.com, HosseinNasser.netlify.com, whatever.netlify.com, and these are completely different websites, yet they share the same top level domain. Same thing with Tumblr. I don't know who uses Tumblr anymore, but you get my idea. Something.tumblr.com. So if you want to log in to Tumblr.com. And I made a nasty attacker website, that's exactly what they did, those guys, called shady.tumblr.com. That's my blog that has my own nasty JavaScript and HTML in it that runs. And if I send you this link to shady.tumblr.com and you happen in another tab to be logging in to tumblr.com, the auto-population of Chrome will populate the password because, hey, I remember you logged in. But Chrome tries to be smart, says, oh, tumblr.com, shady.tumblr.com, they are the same top-level domain. Let's put them in the same beautiful process. Let them share. Let them be in the same location. Sure, why not? Let's save on the overhead. People are memeing us, right? That Chrome is sucking all our RAM and memory, right? You can also always download new RAM. You know, just a click on a button. Go to some website and click a button called download RAM. And that will definitely work if you want to, right? You can always download new RAM and then it will increase the RAM. So that's another topic for another day. Don't do that, guys. I'm joking. Sheesh. Okay. So the idea here is they put in the same process. As a result, you can execute the nasty Spectre code for the speculation, right? Speculative execution, and retrieve the password. And here's the video. Let's watch it together. So the video doesn't have any audio, but you can see that they are going to tumblr.com, trying to log in, automatically populated the password. And here's, they were gonna go into the other website where it says spooktest.tumblr.com. And there you go. Behold, Chrome actually put both sites in the same location, the same process. And as a result, you have your spooky JavaScript code that executes. And as a result, after a few time, because the Spectre takes a lot of time to execute, obviously. But there you go. They leaked the password. They got the password. And then they showed that how you can actually use that password to log in to the Tumblr website, to the actual victim Tumblr. Nasty stuff, guys. Definitely nasty stuff. And finally, so yeah, that's partly what Spook JS is. It's bypassing the site isolation with this trick, right? It's like, okay, you guys didn't really put enough isolation when it comes to subdomain. Your decision to only isolate top level domain was bad. That's what they are saying. Another, they discover not only that, there is another discovery that those guys did where extensions, believe it or not, they run on the same process. That is what shocked me, to be honest. So when you run extensions, all these extensions, for some reason, run in the same process. So if you install a shady extension, that shady extension can read from a legitimate extension like LastPass. And they actually showed this video. I'm going to link it here. I'm not going to show it here, but I'm going to link both videos, the article and the work those guys Spook.js did to learn more. But yeah, it is scary stuff. So the extension stuff really is not as dangerous because you have to actually install, and people are wary of installing stuff. Which is a good thing, right? People are getting more educated when it comes to these things. But yeah, the LastPass, the extension sharing the same process, again, that's a problem. The isolation, high isolation, is always a good idea when it comes to these things. All right, guys, to kind of summarize what we learned today is when you run a process, you are allocated certain amount of memory, right? And when you're building a browser, you're visiting multiple websites. And these websites, if you use the same process, then these website content, cookies, sensitive information, username, password, all must live in memory, obviously, right? So you're sharing multiple websites in the same process. And that's effectively a red flag because now an attacker website can live within the same context, within the same process as an actual legitimate website, and they for the longest time, we really didn't, we weren't afraid, because there's no way to read memory addresses in JavaScript until 2018, when Spectre came into the picture, which apparently it's very, very hard to patch. There are CPUs all over the place that has this bug in it, right? Not really bug, it's a feature. This speculative execution actually speeds up the processing, but also has this bug in it, right? Which allows you to read stuff. So Chrome solution was to separate processes, like, okay, every site gets its own process, right? Until we found out that, hey, they didn't actually separate everything. They only separate top-level domain. So things that have subdomain, such as if you're going to tumblr.com and shady.tumblr.com, they're going to run the same process. Chrome decided not to isolate those two because it's going to be a little bit too much, right? Tries to merge and do a low isolation in these kind of scenarios. Apparently, Google want to change even that to protect against that. So Chrome, as a result of this high isolation, having one website per process, overheads, connections, all of that stuff, is only gonna get slower and slower and slower, right? That's the problem. And even when you separate this, it is kind of sad that we're now, Chrome doesn't have a choice but to separate even a subdomain website into its own process. So that means if you're going to your website, like my website, HusseinNasr.com, and I have backend.HusseinNasr.com, and I have courses.HusseinNasr.com, and I have www.HusseinNasr.com, there'll be 5-6 different processes, and they're gonna be their own isolated processes. And the saddest part is these processes cannot even share the TCP connections, although they are all going to the same IP address, assuming, right? In my case, I think all of them have the same IP address. HusseinNasr.com and blog and all these things had the same IP address. And so you're establishing all these TCP connections, but HTTP effective to send over these requests, but you can't share them because they are in the different process, right? It's just it's not possible. As a result, Chrome will only consume more and more memory, and the memes will remain forever. Thank you so much for watching, and if you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much. Guys, if you're watching the YouTube, I have the same version on the podcast. You can listen to this stuff on, you can listen to the show in the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any of your favorite player. Just go to HusseinNasr.com/podcast. Unfortunately, that will spin up a new process. Goodbye.